Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited Investor Conference Call for the annual financial results of the company. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Sharma, Managing Director of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Good evening,
ladies and gentlemen, and a very, very warm welcome to all of you for the ninth investor call for Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited. On behalf of Mahindra EPC, I would like to thank each one of you for joining this call. Today, I'll be sharing with you the key developments in the agri environment, micro-irrigation industry, and in detail, specific performance of your company and the industry outlook for the year. Let me just once again recap on the water crisis which our country and the planet is facing, and the role of micro-irrigation in alleviating the same. You are all aware that India's population is now more than China's population. Now, what does it mean for water? It means a lot. To feed so many people, the increasing population, and to ensure that water availability is there, it becomes very important for our country to improve the water usage efficiency. And all of you know that almost 90% of the water is used in agriculture. So again, this makes a very strong case for faster adoption of micro-irrigation across the country as we go forward. Today, around 13 to 14% of the land which needs to be micro-irrigated is micro-irrigated through micro-irrigation. That means there is still a potential of almost 85 to 87% available for micro-irrigation. So one is, of course, saving of water. Another is increased productivity. Both are actually beneficial to the farmers using this technology. And over the last few decades, there has been adoption of micro-irrigation across the country, especially in few states like Gujarat, Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, and in recent times, Tamil Nadu. These states have been the pioneers in accepting this technology. And now we are seeing a trend where other states like MP, large state like UP, Rajasthan, are slowly getting into micro-irrigation. And as these large states like MP, Rajasthan, UP adopt this technology, clearly there is a big opportunity for this industry. Coming to Mahindra EPC, again, most of you are aware that we are the pioneers of micro-irrigation India since 1986. And for us, helping the farmers to sustainable precision farming solution is the space in which micro-irrigation operates for us. And clearly we see this business in very much in line with our philosophy of RISE, a philosophy of working towards driving positive change in the lives of the communities where we operate. And our philosophy of doing business is only if we are able to enable others to rise, will we rise. And that's the reason why Mahindra feels that being in the micro-irrigation space is a contribution to the farmers, contribution to the planet, and truly a sustainable business for us. We do understand that the adoption of micro-irrigation has its challenges. It is slower than what we would like it to be. But we are committed to the long-term opportunity of this business, long-term need of this business in terms of impacting the planet, earth, farmers, and our own sustainability. And towards this, over the years, we have been focusing on a lot of activities for educating farmers, for giving them good advisory, supporting them with good quality products and service, so that they are able to benefit the most from this technology. And our focus has always been on customer satisfaction. And all our research reveals that we are amongst the best in customer satisfaction in this industry. And this is something which we would like to continue. Because with this, we are able to fulfill our vision of delivering farmer prosperity and contribute to the nation's priority of doubling the farmer's income. In the previous calls, those of you who have been there, I've been talking about our strategy, and there are four or five key elements of our strategy. One is focus, focusing on key districts, key markets, where we believe the payment cycles are better, the subsidy situation is better than other locations, and they're profitable markets. Focusing on higher margin products like drip over the years has helped our company to keep increasing our margins despite various ups and downs. Focusing on managing our working capital, which we think becomes very important in the industry given the high dependence on states for distributing the subsidy. The last 3 years, we have focused a lot on reducing cost, and that is really helping us now when the raw material costs have gone up to maintain the company's performance. And over the last 3 years, especially after the COVID started, we have been focusing on non-subsidy businesses. And from almost 1% contribution in F20, last year we are close to 20% of our business coming from non-subsidy. So we are trying to move away from the subsidy business gradually, so that business becomes more predictable and cash flows are more even. Let us now talk about the micro-irrigation industry. And after that, I'll talk about our financial results. So if you look at the last 2 or 3 years, they've been kind of not very exciting for this industry. There have been challenges in terms of industry downtrend. There have been raw material cost increases. And as a result, the industry has gone through pressures on margin, and the price increase is controlled by the state governments. So there was also some delay by the state governments in announcing the price increase. So as a result, up to H1 of F23, the trend was not very encouraging. But I'm happy to inform you that from H2 F23, things have changed, and things are changing for the better. One of the major changes which has happened, which I had mentioned in our previous call in the month of October, is the increase in price by the state governments. So as expected, all the major state governments have increased their price. Of course, not in line with the raw material cost increase, but nevertheless, there has been an increase of between 7% to 10% depending on the state. So that has been one positive. Also, the raw material prices have stabilized and slightly softened in H2. So that also has helped the industry in terms of procuring at lower cost. While the crude price has come down in the last few months compared to the first part of the year, but still the crude oil prices are still higher than the prices which we have seen in F20 and F21 when we had peak performance in the industry. Another positive has been the revival of Andhra Pradesh. I mentioned in the call last time that we expect in H2 the revival of the industry largely on the back of Andhra Pradesh. So they would be driving the industry. And that's what really happened. So the industry has done well, largely because of AP getting active. Another positive is that AP has been holding on to the subsidy payments for many years. So in the last financial year, they've cleared a lot of dues, pending dues of the industry, which has also given the industry confidence to focus more on the AP market. There are other programs like the Atal Bhu Jal Yojana, where there is incentive for certain districts to go for micro irrigation where the groundwater is lesser and they get higher incentives. And that is also driving business, especially in areas like Gujarat. Tamil Nadu, our expectation was it should grow at a faster pace. That didn't happen in H2. It was a bit slower than expected. Also, Karnataka, while we were not expecting Karnataka to get operational, but we don't see any movement in Karnataka, which used to be a good market a few quarters ago. So with this background, I will talk about the performance of Mahindra EPC in F23. So let me start with an overall annual perspective Then quickly on the half yearly and the quarterly results. Quarter results you have seen. So I'll just give the context in terms of how the year has been for us. So when we started 2023, we were quite clear that what are the challenges and opportunities ahead of us in 2023. And based on that, we focused on certain markets. We focused a lot on cash collection, ensuring the cash flow of the company, and cost. And as a result of this, we could see some increase in market share in few of our focus markets where we wanted to grow further. And also, we could have healthy cash flows during the year. If you look at the overall growth of the industry, we expected the year to end at a positive of around 5%-7%. But as per the current data available, it seems that the industry would be almost same as last year or maybe 1% or 2% plus or minus. Still, the data is coming in. As you know, there is no single reliable source of data in this industry. But our estimates reveal that the industry would have been same as F22 or marginally growth over F22. As far as EPC is concerned, our continued focus on improving non-subsidy business, cost optimization, and focusing on product mix has paid dividends. As a result, we could see some improvement in our margins during H2. Certain calls have been taken to discontinue or not sell certain non-profitable products to ensure that our margins are protected. Moving ahead, I will just talk about the commitment to sustainability. For us at Mahindra EPC, focusing on our social responsibility, ensuring that we are able to contribute to water conservation, ensuring education and upliftment of farmers in terms of using this technology, and continuously working towards helping the farmers to improve their farm productivity. That continued. One of the internal measures we have in our group is called the Mahindra Way, which is an internal assessment done across group companies to check and validate the processes, the robustness of the processes followed in the organization. I'm happy to say that Mahindra EPC was assessed and was given a stage of five rating, which is considered to be among the better ratings on a scale of 10. This just shows that the company's processes are in place. We also have a system of measuring customer satisfaction by having a metric called Customer's Promoter Score. This year, we ended the year with a high score of 70+, which is among the higher end in the industry in terms of customer satisfaction. So if you look at the overall year in terms of cost efficiency, focus, markets, product mix, sustainability, farmer, quality, customer satisfaction, processes, we have seen some good improvements. Yes, where we have missed is the revenue and the bottom line. And the reasons for the same have been discussed. Now, let me give you specific numbers around that. And for that, I would like to contrast first half two of F23, which we believe is the new normal, and we expect the industry to grow now on similar guidelines as H2 of F23. And I'll compare that with H1. Typically, the half two is always a better half in terms of the volume and the revenue compared to H1. And 30%-40% higher business we have seen in half two compared to H1. But this year, because of the abnormal situation in H1 and the favorable situation in H2, our growth in H2 was 86% over H1 of F23 and 16% of H2 in the previous year, in the corresponding period in F22. So 86% growth over H1 is pretty heartening for us because that shows that the industry is now coming back to its growth trajectory. In terms of profit, compared to H1 of F23, we saw percentage contribution going up by almost 7%, largely because of cost savings, product mix, and also we saw our variable margins improving, which has led to a profit after tax of 2 crores for H2 F23. And as a result of working capital efficiency, we could also have a positive cash flow for this period. And again, a similar improvement over the previous year. And this has been helped by the price increases in various states and stabilizing of raw material costs. Now coming to Q4 of F23, the numbers in front of you, we have grown by 6.7% over the previous year in terms of revenue growth. And largely this is, for us, it has been revival of Andhra Pradesh and our continued increase in the projects business. Project business, for those of you who are following us, would remember that this is one area we have been trying to develop. And just to give you numbers, in F22, we had hardly 6 crores business on projects. Last year, we could do 20 crores business in projects. And now that we are Class A contractors, we see a good opportunity in this segment going forward. In terms of profit versus Q4 of F22, the previous year, we saw 5.3% reduction in raw material prices, resulting in material cost reduction of around 3%. And also we had certain price increase benefits. So as a result, our margins were, as you can see, much better than the previous year. And our PAT increased to 2.74 versus 0.14 in Q4 F22.
Moving ahead. So for the full year, F23,
if you look at the numbers in front of you, our top line has been kind of flat. And in terms of profit, our loss stands at 12 crores versus 7.98. This is despite a very high raw material cost increase in H1 and no price increase by the governments in H1. Because of H2 recovery, because of internal efficiencies, product mix and price increase, we could contain this. And Q4 was a quarter where we could see the effect of the various variable parameters playing out for us. There has been some reduction in debtors and the free cash flow also has improved thanks to the payment made by Andhra Pradesh government and other state governments being more efficient. So friends, that was F23. I'll just take another 3 or 4 minutes max to talk about F24 and then I'll be very happy to answer your questions or suggestions as the case may be. So let's now look at how we see F24, and this is based on our feedback with other industry players. Clearly last 3 years since COVID, this industry went through a lot of turmoil. One on cost, second on funding, government priority changed, prices came under pressure, but now things are changing. Clearly we are seeing F24 on a much more favorable and a positive note for the industry compared to the last 2-3 years. So one of the biggest positive which we see for F24 is smooth operations of Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu. As I mentioned many times, the 4 states, Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Gujarat and Maharashtra, they contribute more than 50% in a normal year to the industry. So these 2 states which were muted, now they are getting back, and Maharashtra and Gujarat continue to perform consistently. So we are quite happy that this time all these 4 states will be performing as per the normal potential. And let me remind you that the industry we estimate is around 3,200 crores for micro irrigation, and in good periods before COVID, we had touched almost 5,000 crores industry. So from 5,000 crores, we came down and now we are at around 3,200 crores. And now we believe that we again move the trajectory up towards our previous highs for the industry. Market like Telangana, which was not very active, also has become very active. And then also we have states like MP, Chhattisgarh, Rajasthan, UP, who, though slow, slowly are, you know, showing traction of increasing their business of micro irrigation, and these states also will offer a lot of opportunities for the industry in the years to come. And they are large states, so as they get into this business, there is enough acreage to be covered in these states. Now, looking at the risks going ahead, what are the risks we see? One is clearly markets like Karnataka, which are expected to start, they are not moving ahead. So that's one concern we see in this from state's point of view. Also, some state elections are due. They tend to create some disturbance in the business. So that is another risk we see. Raw material cost, at least for the next 3 to 6 months, we don't see any major disruption, but we don't see very drastic softening of the raw material coming to the previous year's levels. Another area which is we need to see is the monsoon. Now, there's a lot of talk about the likelihood of El Nino. Now, El Nino forecasts, and if you look at the last so many years, it's not true that always when the forecast is made, it happens. So, the probability of it happening also one has to see. And if it happens, there is a chance that in the second half of the monsoon phase, there could be lesser rains, which in a way may be good for the micro industry in a short term, but also it dampens the spirits of the farmers in terms of income. So in the short term, it may yield some immediate demand, but in the long term, definitely it will affect farmers' income, which is not good for the industry. So in terms of the industry growth rate, now that's the question which always we asked, so we just preempt it a bit. Now looking at states like Andhra, Tamil Nadu, getting back, Telangana also improving, and the newer states improving, it's an estimate. We estimate that the industry can grow in the range from 7 to 8% to around 13 to 14%. The factors being how fast Tamil Nadu ramps up, how well Andhra also scales up, and these are the two main drivers for this growth. And of course, assumption is Gujarat and Maharashtra continue, and we expect Gujarat to be more active this year because they were little slowed down last year compared to their previous track record, and they have now given enough indications to believe that they are going to grow in the this year. So with this situation, today when I speak to you, I am more optimistic than before, last few quarters for sure, in terms of the industry opportunity, stability in price and raw material. And our company has always, you know, focused on quality, farmer satisfaction, which actually is helping us to increase our market share year on year. I must also hasten to add that last year in F23, we did not increase market share. Market share was flat. And that is one of the key reasons for that is we decided to go a bit slow in Tamil Nadu, where we wanted to ensure that our pending receivables and our pending payments are received. And because of the high growth, we wanted to ensure that our procedures and processes are stabilized. So with this, I would like to end my opening address. I would like to once again thank you for your joining this call, for your patient listening. And I'll be very happy to share my views on your questions. So over to you, Alizan, for taking it ahead. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star in two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Aditya Shah from Vikram Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on achieving a similar turnover as last year and improvement over the H1 on most parameters. I have three, four questions, so I'll join all of them. So the first question is, the other costs for the full year have increased by 14 crores, which is apart from the material and employee costs. So where has it increased? That is the first question. Second question is, when I have observed that, you know, when our material cost remains between 52 and 54%, our operating margins would generally be in the range of 8 to 10%. But this quarter, we have an operating margin of 4%. So what has led to that reduction? My third question is that, you know, the trade receivables have been, you know, good in terms of collection. It reduced from 175 to 127. That is amazing. What is the provisions that we carry on those 127 crores which is remaining? And were there any write-offs that we did during the year and this particular quarter? My fourth question is regarding what percentage of non-subsidy business do we hold today? And what are the margins and payment terms in project businesses? And where do we do that project business? And my last question is, any update on diversification into agri pipes and other products to boost our non-subsidy business? Thank you.
Thanks, Aditya. You said 3-4 questions. You could give me 6 questions. Thanks for that. And you are a regular one at the call, so you know the whole history. So let me start with the first question. See, the other costs, frankly, you know, what is happening is as our project business is increasing, a lot of expenses on the project, we are booking in other expenses, which are called site expenses. So out of this 14 odd crores, almost 50%, I think, would be on the project cost expenses, which are coming there. So that is one. Second is also in this year, in F23, see what happened in 21-22, because of COVID, lot of our payments were getting delayed in few states because of various reasons. You know, people were not there, staff was changing, governments were also not very efficient. So in F23, we realized that there is delay in payments in certain markets, certain districts. So we have taken a very conservative call in terms of providing for more than normal. So typically, we would provide around 1 to 1.5% of our revenue for PDD or provisions for doubtful debt. But this year, we have almost 3.5% we have provided, which you see in the annual report in the details. So that's one another reason which has increased our. Of course, efforts are on to, it's just provision, it's not written off. Efforts are on, and I'm sure there will be recovery over time. But as you know, our policies on the provisions are very conservative, and we don't like to carry such, you know, any risk in this area. That's another area. And if you look at other areas where, you know, our expenses have gone up, I would say they are the smaller ones on routine activities. But we also done some savings on freight and other areas. So these are, the, I would say, the two big blocks, to be honest.
Okay.
And that also, Aditya, has impacted our operating margin to that extent, because in quarter four,
exactly.
You know, yeah, so that's there. But I mean, if you just think through, these are not normal expenses. They are, of course, project would be normal, but these provisions are not normal.
Right. So if we do 52 to 54% operating as in material cost during this whole year, our operating margins will come back to 8 to 10% normal, right? Is it safe to assume that?
Aditya, you people are analysts. You guys know it better than me. So you can do your math better than me. So whatever the number comes, come. But the point is, yeah, you're right, directionally move there. And what has to be noted in quarter four is the reduction in material cost and the enhancement in the gross margins.
Right.
Now coming to non-subsidy, I think I mentioned in my speech also that this has been an important area for us, that non-subsidy area focus. So 21% is the right answer of our overall revenues coming from non-subsidy.
Okay.
And we've grown by almost 17% over the previous year. And projects are part of it.
Okay.
So that's quite interesting. From 1% of non-subsidy in F20, we moved to 10% in F21, then 17% in F22, and 20% in F23. And the kind of project, you asked about projects. See, projects is a little bit, you know, twin-edged sword, in the sense, in the past, we've not been very aggressive on large projects, because we used to feel that large projects would also mean large money is getting stuck to the state governments,
which could have, you know, uncertainty in terms of payments. So we have been very conscious of taking small to medium sized projects where the payment path is very clear, and that actually has worked well for us. So in areas like MP, Karnataka, Kerala, these are the some states where we have taken very specific projects, and we choose the projects where we think margins are good and payments are protected. And margins, though they are not in line with our, you know, margins which we get in good times in micro irrigation, they are a bit lower. But to give you a number, the variable margins after variable expenses would be around 15% to 18%, and for quarter four, our variable margin for our regular business around 25%. That's to give you the contrast.
Okay.
Payment is good. We select those markets where the payments are projects are payment is clear. So that helps us. Collection is faster.
Pipes. Sir, none of these. None of these project business are private project businesses, or is all government?
All government. See, water management, irrigation, they are all government driven projects where they want to provide special, you know, extension from the main canals into the various areas. So they do a lot of mini projects, check dams, etc.
Okay.
We all state government projects. And the last point,
is there not any scope of contract farming when private players come into contract farming and they require the micro irrigation product? Is there any scope in that business?
So there is. So obviously, whenever there is a contract farming or large farms, we do offer our solution. But that we take as more of a micro irrigation business, and also our greenhouses we provide there. But when we say projects, we are talking about 5 to 10 crores minimum kind of ticket size, and largely by state work.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last point, Aditya, is on the extension of pipe business and others.
Yes, yes.
Well, we are studying them, and whenever there is something to share in terms of our firm intention, definitely we will share on the call. We are very transparent, as you know. As of now, there is no clear yes or no. We are definitely evaluating them and seeing what is most attractive for us going forward.
Right, sir.
So
thank you so much for answering most of the questions. Thank you, sir.
Now, Aditya, you have asked so many questions, I wonder what others will ask now. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Prem Raheja, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So, good afternoon and thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Prem bhai.
Okay, sir. Sir, I just had two questions, sir. So that from 1920 till date, what has been the volume degrowth actually? Because what has happened is that the price increase has taken place, so we are not able to basically assess ki what has been the volume degrowth in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And sir, in your fair estimate, when do you think that Mahindra EPC will be able to post good numbers like 1920? Another year and a half, 2 years, or what is the trajectory, sir? These are just the two questions.
So let me start with the easier one, which is the second one. Hello, Prembhai, you know, we have every quarter, every half year, we share what is happening. Now, if you look at the next 2 years, I'd mention even in F20 and 21, that industry is going to be dull and regrowth will happen. Now we are expecting clearly industry to move. And I had mentioned before, 7 to 13, 14% we are seeing. So even if the industry grows by 12%, let's say, we are always, you know, if you look at our track record, we maintain industry growth a bit more than that. And that's how we have grown in the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years. So clearly you can expect a similar or slightly higher growth than the industry. If you look at our financials, look at quarter four. And as I also mentioned in the opening thing, that this seems to be now the steady state for some time in terms of price and raw material. So these two parameters which are out of our control, they seem to be now stabilizing at these levels. Other parameters are available to you. And I also mentioned, Aditya, there have been some additional provisions we made this year. So that also is a reality. So if I have to, you know, obviously I cannot give you the exact figure of 1920 and all that I can tell you, but you can visualize that if you're going by 12 to 15% and the margins are there where they are, and our fixed cost, I think, is something which you all must have seen very closely.
And that's really a credit to our entire management team. There are fixed costs which were there in F20. We could manage with almost that cost till F23 through a lot of restructuring, efficiency improvement, and various things we have done. So our cost structure also is very tight. So now whatever growth we have now actually will flow through the bottom line. So I'm quite positive in the next 2-3 years, we will see big change. Last 2 years, what has happened, obviously, we were not expecting this kind of bottom line performance. But clearly, those things seem to be now in the past. So next 2-3 years, we see a big opportunity for growth for the industry and for the company. Now, coming to your question of volume growth. So it's a bit difficult to kind of answer straight because, you know, there are different products, different mix we use for drips and sprinklers. But if I give you an estimate, see the industry we are saying is around an F20 peak was 5,000 crores. Now the industry has come down to 3,200, 1,300 crores. So there is a drop of almost 30% in the industry. Now if you look at the price increase, so price increase has not happened. Price increase happened now only in the last 5-6 months. So the entire drop which has happened in the first 2.5 years is volume drop. So to that extent, you can imagine that almost 20 to 25% volume degrowth happened for sure after even the considering the price increase in last 6 months. This is an estimate I'm giving you.
Yeah.
That's how it looks. And that actually is the opportunity going forward. All those states who are inactive in the last 2 years, now they're getting active. And that's where the real growth is going to come. Premier,
right.
I hope to answer your question.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you so much and all
thank
the best.
You, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your continued support, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shri Mandadoria from Shri Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Just repeat your name, please.
Shri Mandadoria.
Yes, yes, Shriman.
Yeah, I have few questions, sir. Firstly, you know, on the greenhouse JV, I think 5 years back when we invested around, I think roughly about 1.8 crores in this JV. We had, you know, I think high hopes on this JV. So after 5 years, want to understand, you know, what has not gone right in this JV. I see that we continually take provisions in this JV and now we are left with, I think, this 48 lakhs of investments in this JV. Do we have to take a complete write-down of our investment in this JV? That's the first question.
Go ahead, Shivant.
Yeah. The second question is, in the last conference call, you had highlighted about a major part of our receivable is from the Tamil Nadu state government. And if I recall the numbers, it's about, I think, 70-75 crores of receivable were pending from the Tamil Nadu government. So out of the current receivables, you know, of about, say, 128 crores as on, you know, March end, how much of that is from the Tamil Nadu government? So what is the status on that 70-75 crores of, you know, payment expected from the Tamil Nadu government? That's the, you know, second question. The third question is, you know, wanted to understand, you know, while the PVC prices, you know, that we see from, you know, multiple players in the industries have fallen drastically. That has fallen in, say, in the December quarter and has also fallen in the March quarter. So how much of the fall in the PVC prices is now already reflecting in your gross margin numbers that you have reported in the March quarter? And should one expect, you know, further increase in the gross margin in the coming quarters? Because the fall in the PVC prices from the reported numbers that has been tracked has been substantial, hence this question. That's the third question. The fourth question is, you mentioned in your opening remarks about the 2-3 initiatives, you know, about the major initiatives being taken to reduce costs, you know, drastically in the last 3 years, you know, which is helping you. So if you could, you know, brief about, you know, the, say, the top 2-3 initiatives that were taken in the last 3 years, and if you could quantify, you know, the permanent savings that have come from these cost, you know, reduction initiatives that were taken. The fifth question is, you know, while the three states, as you mentioned, Gujarat, Maharashtra and Andhra, which have been leading, the micro irrigation penetration. So I was curious to understand, what has been the penetration level, in these specific states, because, Gujarat has been, the premier, in the micro irrigation. So while we know that all India, the micro irrigation penetration is quite low, but in these, say, major, say, 4-5 states, what is the penetration of the micro irrigation? Because, that could also help us to understand, the kind of opportunity that is left in these states. A few more on the, the raw material side, wanted to understand a bit on how many days of raw material we generally keep. So that would also give us an understanding about your gross margin. And of the 8 crores of provision that you have taken in the last financial year towards setting the output receivable, how much of that was specifically taken in the quarter four, if you could quantify that? And lastly, as you mentioned, in your response to Aditya's question, that, the expenses are a bit higher in the project business. So how do you get compensated for the higher expenses in the project business? Is the margin significantly higher in the project business, and hence, it's okay to have the higher expenses in the project because it is dampening our overall margins in the project business. So these were the, some of my questions.
Thank you, Simon. It's quite a list. I thought Aditya had done it all, but you are doing one after another. So let me start one by one. The greenhouse business actually has not gone as per our expectations clearly, and our strategy didn't work for greenhouse. Our strategy for greenhouse, our assumption was that this is a segment where there will be a lot of interest from large farmers to get into this greenhouse, and also there are a lot of private companies who are doing exports and other work. Actually, this whole segment has not taken off last 4 or 5 years. And one of the key reasons for that is there used to be by the National Horticulture Board some incentives or subsidies they used to give for the greenhouse. And that whole system is not functioning. The subsidies are not coming very easily to the farmers or to the private companies. And as a result, the new buying is not happening. And even for large farmers, they are not able to see the financial viability of greenhouse for 2-3 reasons. One is, during this COVID time, the whole farm economics and the way of thinking for farmers changed. And their ability to justify that large expense is not really clicked. So despite a good technology partner from Israel, who's been able to, give us very good technology at a low cost, we not succeeded. But we still believe that climate change and there is a need for potato cultivation in our country, which is prevalent in most other countries. So now we have developed some low-cost greenhouses for smaller farmers with 1 lakh, 1.5 lakh rupees price to the farmer. We are doing some experiment. We have enough knowledge and learning which we have accumulated in the company. So as of now, I don't see some big action happening there. Now the investment number remaining around 40, 45 lakhs. So that itself, maybe next 1-2 years, we will see some, I have some marginal impairment or some improvement there. But it is a strategy I can say which has not worked given these realities. But have we given up on it? No. Do we think this industry will grow eventually? Yes. Will it happen in the next 2-3 years? Perhaps no. So that's where we are on this. Now going to the Tamil Nadu. So the good news of Tamil Nadu is that we have collected 50 crores from Tamil Nadu last year. And that actually has really reduced the debt of Tamil Nadu to less than 60 crores. So that's a big improvement. And one of the reasons for our little lesser growth, same growth as industry and not growing very aggressively in Tamil Nadu was this. We wanted to get our payments right, our processes right, and the right kind of provisioning so that there is no problems going forward. So that's on Tamil Nadu. PVC price fall is there. It is helping us. But the reality is that hardly 6 to 7% of our material cost is depend on PVC procurement. We are largely dependent on LDP procurement. PVC is a small part of our procurement. Doesn't impact much, but yes, to the extent it definitely helped us. Now you talked about cost reduction initiatives. So it's been quite a few. But to name the big ones, one is our distributed manufacturing strategy has helped us in terms of reducing our freight cost. Second is our design. We have done a lot of work on the design of the product in terms of reducing the wastage, making the drips more tightly designed to save, because we consume millions of drips. Even if you save 2 paisa, 5 paisa, it's a lot. That's one other area. On the organization, manpower cost also, we have restructured the organization, changed the role responsibilities. As a result, we could reduce our manpower cost in absolute terms. That's another big one. And in addition to this digital manufacturing, also freight we have reduced, because we are now trying to dispatch directly to the farmers and making it more and more cost effective across various areas. That also has helped us a lot. So these are the big ones in terms of cost reduction. Coming to state-wise penetration. Now, this data is not very, you know, liberally published. So I can just share some estimates which are just directional. So for example, Maharashtra is one of the most highest penetration state in India, because this state has been at micro irrigation for the longest. Maharashtra and then AP, they have been at for it longest. Gujarat then came in a more professional organized way. If I have to hazard a guess, I think these states should be in the range of 20 to 30%, depending on between Maharashtra, Gujarat and AP. These would be the higher penetrated states. Tamil Nadu is a lower penetrated state. It has just got active from 2018-19. So that would be on the lower side, maybe as national average or a bit below. Andhra has been again very active for many, many years in master irrigation. So I would say these three states are the big ones in terms of penetration: Gujarat, Maharashtra, Andhra. And in terms of size and future growth, Tamil Nadu is coming up well with lesser penetration. And if you look at states like MP, Rajasthan, they would be not even 3-4%. And they are already large states. And as water problem becomes bigger and bigger, they have to, you know, go for this technology. So I hope that answers your question partly. Moving to...
Yeah.
Let me finish it, then you can ask if there's any follow-up question. So the next one was on inventory. So, is it number of days you're asking? What is the question you're asking on inventory?
Yes. How many days of raw material inventory do you keep?
So it varies from season to season, timing-wise, but it could, you know, vary from 15 days to 40 days, depending on the seasonality of the business. So we don't like to carry too much stock because of the price volatility, and we have a tight supply chain. So that would be the broad range for it. Now you talked about the 8 crores provisioning. The provisioning for quarter four was around a crore, crore and a half. Maybe I can just ask my finance team to confirm to me for quarter four. So Sunetra or Abhijit, just confirm that, right, exact number. Now coming to project market, see, project market, while the expenses, the way they are shown in other expenses, frankly, the raw material cost is lower. Just to give an idea, around 40% is the material cost and around 40% is the site expense cost. Compared to normal drip business, where we say 55% or 60% is the material cost. Because here the material cost, the way it's accounted, is more in the other fixed expense. So that's not an issue. But yes, as I mentioned before, the margins are 2/3 of the margins of the regular business. So that is the reality. But they're still profitable and it is additional business. So it is not, you know, helping our, taking the profit away from the system. And the payments are also faster than the regular Andhra and Tamil Nadu kind of markets. So that actually is the situation on the question which you asked. Abhijit, can you confirm this quarter four, what is the provisioning? Yeah, please go ahead. Is there any follow-up question here?
One was on the raw material price, you know, how much of the raw material benefit is already in the quarter four numbers, and what do one expect in H1?
So as I mentioned, since we are not, you know, keep playing on the inventory part, that's not the point. Point is that there is a price increase which has happened of around 7-8% in
quarter four compared to the previous quarters. An annualized price increase is around 2 to 4%. So the annualized price increase of 2 to 4% will continue next year.
Okay, okay. Got it. Since you know you mentioned PVC is not a major for your raw material, could you please share, you know, what are your top say 3-4 raw materials and you know percentage wise how much they contribute in your overall raw material say cost?
So our main raw material is LDPE, LLDP, these and HDPE. These would be almost 85-90% of our raw material what we procure. Then we have other materials coming in. So we are more impacted by these polymer prices. So we look at polymer prices and that's more relevant for us.
Right, okay. And the cost saving initiatives that you mentioned, could you please quantify, you know, in numbers, how much of savings that has come because of this? How many crores of savings that is permanent in nature because of these initiatives?
If you look at exact number, will be difficult because it happens year on year. But if you look at our this year's financials, this year's numbers, annualized numbers, so this becomes the base. And from here now, and if you look at last 2-3 years, our fixed expenses, you can see for last 3 years how they've dropped. Now going forward, we don't see, anticipate that kind of drops in terms of reduction fixed expense. So we will see the benefits of fixed expense which we got will be sustained, and there will be some impact of inflation which we have to factor going forward. So I don't expect now the same kind of velocity of fixed cost reduction in the last 3 years for the next 2 years. It now will be kind of stable plus some inflation.
So, while I was, you know, sorry to, you know, I'm harping more on this number, you know, but the reason why I'm checking on this is because if I just look at, you know, say your fixed expenses and I'm majorly looking at, you know, the other expenses part, you know, as a percentage of your sales, and if I look at, you know, even your last 7-8 years of data, so this number, say, in say 15 or 16, was roughly around, say, 22 or 25% of your overall top line, and you know even if I look at you know in the last say 3-4 years, it has been in the range of say 29 to 30%. So hence I was you know trying to understand better, you know how these cost saving initiatives are helping us in better margins.
Yeah, so it's a mixed, you know, the way we classify our other fixed expenses, other expenses, sometimes they get mixed with things like provisioning. They also have things like project expenses. Now, projects have increased, so a lot of expenses are sitting over there while they should be in the material cost. So it's a bit complex one. Maybe what we could do, Shimant, is that we could have an offline, more detailed discussion with exact numbers, because these are too many numbers you're talking about. And we could kind of share with you in a more detailed manner.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Shivan. Thanks a lot for your continued interest in our company. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Ashok ji. Hope you are fine.
Very nice, Rajan bhai. Nice to hear you. How are you?
Always great to hear you.
Same here, sir.
I think it's a long time. You have been talking almost an hour. So I have very short and crisp questions.
Thank you, sir.
So this raw material cost in the last quarter is about 50% of sales, approximately 35 crore vis-a-vis sales of 70 crore. So can we expect this trend to continue for 23-24 months? 50% raw material cost will be 50% of sales. That is first question. Second is, sir, you said that the 2019-20 industry size was 5,000 crore and now it is 3,200 crore. So basically, if you want to get back to 2019-20 figure of 5,000 crore, the industry has to grow in absolute terms by about 50%. And
right.
We are talking about a growth of 13-14%. So am I to understand that it will take 3 years for us to go back to that 19-20 level? That was the second question. Third was, sir, this, how big is this project business market? I mean, and will it increase our debt? And yeah, that's it. I just wanted to know how big is this project business and how big are our plans in this project business.
Okay. Thank you, Rajan bhai. So as far as material cost is concerned, I think Q4 is a good representation because it's a very balanced quarter in terms of our mix. I would imagine that this percentage should continue by and large. As I mentioned before also, we don't see a major raw material cost increase now for the next 3-6 months. If that happens, then this 53% should continue. That is one around that. Now, you're right. We would be too aggressive to think that the industry would grow more than 12-13% because we have seen with experience that always some things will happen. There will be some states which will be slow, there will be some elections, there will be some, you know, issues. Beyond that, I don't foresee, and we have not seen in the last 10 years also that fast growth beyond 12-13%. Yes, it will take maybe 2.5-3 years for it to reach to that level. I would agree with that calculation also. Coming to project markets are huge. They are huge markets and all kind of projects. It's a big market, it's a big segment. We are new, we are very small, and to that extent, it's a big opportunity for us. We are only 20 crores odd we have done this year. Of course, on the back of 6 crores is a big number. Growth in this segment is a priority for us, and we would like to, you know, grow much faster. We are putting in more resources. We are going for bigger projects now. It's a big opportunity here. Of course, I cannot give you the right number because it varies year-on-year depending on the government's allocation for that year. It is definitely in the region of 1,000+ crores, so that's a big opportunity for us.
Fine, sir. Fine.
Rajan, thank you.
Yeah, all the best to you, sir. All the best.
Thank you, sir. It's already 5:00 P.M., listen, so how do you want to do now?
Sir, we have the last two questions. Should we go ahead with it?
Yeah, my request is then can we have short question and because, you know, everybody's time is important, so we can have short question, no problem.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shroff from Financial Research Technologies. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question.
Jigar bhai, I have to take your question, bhai. Your question, how can I miss?
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Sir, just two questions. Sir, one is, could you please explain a bit about the nature of this project business? That is one. Second, sir, with the last 3 years of turmoil in the industry due to COVID, could there be any inorganic opportunities like weak players getting weeded out and so we could capitalize and increase our market share and penetration all over the country, sir? Thank you, sir. That's it.
Nice. Typically, what happens, Jigar bhai, on projects, see what happens, there are macro irrigation projects which are happening, which are big canals and big dams for water flow across the country. Now, that is done by the government and the thousands of crores, lakhs of crores have gone into that. What happens that from the big mega canals and mega dams, they want water to now move into the villages, and they want movement of water in a smooth way into the interiors. That is the time they require, you know, companies to come and make project. That is one kind of big segment. Another segment is, you know, where they want to lift the water from ground level to higher levels, and that's where they engage and the government spends money to move water to, you know, areas which are not having access to water through ground. Plus lift kind of projects you do, it's also a big segment. Last-
What is our scope of work, sir? Sorry to interrupt, sir. What is our scope of work in this?
We are focusing more on the last mile. That means where we help the macro projects to move towards the farmer, the last mile. We would be typically working to take from the canals into the farm. We have expertise there. Which are the mid-size kind of projects. We don't do too much of lift projects and all that because they are having different kind of skill sets which we are not very strong at. We focus on these kind of projects which are helping the farmers to get the water from the major canals which are moving in their nearby location. For that, what kind of arrangements are required, how the water has to flow, what kind of piping, pumps, filtration, all that we take care of.
Okay.
Now, coming to inorganic, Jigar bhai, last 2-3 years, market was so tough and bad. Frankly, even the companies were very careful that, how do we ensure our own situation and not get into a situation where we are saddled with challenges of the other companies. That's the trend I could see in the industry. That has not happened. Now as the industry is again looking up, and looking at the future, there would be possibilities and opportunities for, you know, companies coming together to kind of consolidate and move ahead. So that trend might happen now that COVID is out and people are back to normal way of thinking.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Ji.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now have the conference over to Mr. Ashok Sharma for his closing comments.
So thanks everyone, and I really appreciate your very straightforward, very clear questions and a lot of interest in the company. I hope we have been able to answer that to the best of ability. However, if there is something which is unanswered or something which you want more information, Mr. Ratnakar is always available for all investors. Please feel free to contact him. And definitely we are very, very clear that we should give all the information as transparently as possible. I have tried my best today. If something is fully not understood or more questions are there, please feel free to contact Ratnakar. We will definitely answer them. And once again, thank you everyone for your interest in our company. And I wish you all the very best to you and your family. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.